Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello there, and welcome back again another week to Scaling Wellness. We are moving away this week from our series that I have been running on the flow system. And instead, we are talking about something that has been coming up for me with my clients and with inquiries that I've been getting. So I wanted to talk to you about the power of the pivot, about the power of going a little bit more niche when you are traditionally, historically, a generalist. So by generalist, I mean you are really good at what you do. You know you're good at what you do. You're working with clients already. You have paying clients. They love you. They give you great testimonials. They talk about you. They share your products with their friends. They are raving fans. But they come to you for your methodology, not for a transformation. So they might come to you for personal training. They might come to you for nutrition. They might come to you for life coaching. So they aren't necessarily there for specific transformation. Or in other words, there are a multitude of things that they can get from working with you. So if you're a life coach, for example, it may be that they're transitioning from a corporate career. Maybe they want to navigate early motherhood. Maybe they are stressed. You know, there's all sorts of reasons why they come to you, but you just have a really good name locally. So they come to you for a multitude of things, but you are the reason. You're the kind of linchpin. So when we pivot, there are a few reasons why we do this and why we niche. Now, I talk about this a fair bit, so I hope that you've got this gist, but I do always feel like it's worth, you know, hammering the point home. That when you are working in a real life local business, you don't need to niche. You will be able to create a great business with local clients who come to you off of word of mouth, off of referrals, through local advertising, through leaflets, through posters. You don't have to niche. That's not to say you can't. Lots of people do, but you don't have to. Your locality, your area will be your niche. Typically, people will come to you because you're the most convenient or the nearest or someone, one of their friends goes to you. So in real life, you don't need to niche. So we're really talking about group programs, memberships, courses. Now, maybe you already have an online membership or a digital product. Maybe you've put in loads of work and you've shown up and you have created something, but now it feels a bit stuck. And maybe the point of the thought of niching really terrifies you because you don't want to offend or alienate the close-knit community that you've spent years building. And this exact phrase has come from a couple of people that I've been chatting to this week, which is this idea of offending, upsetting, alienating, pissing off the people that have already invested with you. Now, in this episode, we're going to explore when and how the pivot should happen, why niching is often the missing piece, and how it can work alongside what you've already got. So you don't have to niche without, you don't have to burn bridges in order to create a niche, in other words. Now, let's talk first of all about memberships, because what I see a lot, particularly in the fitness space, is people have created memberships often off of the back of COVID, but not exclusively. I've seen a lot ping up in the last couple of years. Memberships, video libraries, downloadable videos on your website, those kind of things. I see a lot in the movement space. And The difficulty with selling this kind of thing is that they're usually a bit too broad in order to scale. So usually you will create like a, let's say a membership. Let's call it a Pilates membership. Now, often these are created from a place of real love for your clients, that you are wanting to build something that offers them more of you. This is exactly what I did back in 2018. I created a membership that was just a video library. And it was, you know, segmented into 5 to 15 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes, beginner, improver, intermediate, Pilates with weights, speedy Pilates, nighttime routine. Like it was separated out into, you know, in theory, someone could come onto that membership and find exactly what they need. But of course, my experience was that once you have created that for your current clients, your current audience, and your existing members, real life members, your friends, your family, your mums, your aunties, your ex-colleagues, once you've reached out to the people that already know, like, and trust you, scaling a membership like that can be really hard because it doesn't really offer anything that people can't get in real life, other than ease. But there is so much competition. There's so many other options on the market. But also, maintaining clients inside those memberships is really hard because even if you do get people to join, it's going to be very hard to keep them because they don't do it. There's just too many options, too many things to do, too many, you know, places they can go inside that membership. I personally was a member of a Pilates membership. It was costing me £7.50 a month, right? That is literally pocket change. It would be less than my weekly coffee allowance. And yet I didn't stay. I stayed about 6 months and then I left because even £7.50 when you're not using it really, really grates. So that end supplier, the person who created that membership, made 6 times £7.50 out of me. Now that is not sustainable for any business. You'd have to have an enormous audience. And then even with an enormous audience, you've got to really lower that churn rate. So you've got to get people staying. It's a very, very difficult model to scale and grow. So growth often stalls when the offer like that is just too broad. When you're speaking to everybody, your message lands kind of with nobody. Nobody really commits. Nobody really feels like they need it. And often early growth comes from your warm network, the people you already know. But at some point, you do need to bring in new people. And marketing a product like that gets really hard when the transformation you're promising isn't clear. Now, I know there is a huge fear of niching out there, that people circle a niche. What, you know, will I lose loyal clients? What if my members feel excluded? But what I want you to try and remember when you're looking at your niche is, number one, someone said to me a few years ago, and I love this, I can't remember who it was that said it, that a niche isn't a tattoo. It doesn't have to be tattooed onto your forehead forever. It is something that you can change and you can iterate, but it's a first step in the direction of, you know, where you'd like to take your business. But also, niching isn't rejecting people. It's just refining who you're going to really help in that space. And remember that most of your real life clients probably won't qualify for your online product. And that's okay. It's okay to have two businesses. You don't have to be for everybody. You don't have to think, right, well, how am I going to help Rosie and Alison and Michael? You can just pick one and just help that one person. So we're really refining the digital side of your business, not necessarily the in-person side. When you niche, the right people will lean in really hard and they'll feel like you are seeing them, that you are really creating something for them. And others can choose to stay. So if you have an existing membership now and you are thinking, okay, I want to niche, but I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do that with my existing audience. We're going to talk about how to do that. But remember that in most cases, unless you have thousands of people in your membership, then we may need a different conversation. But for most people I speak to, they've got under 50 in their membership. Now, when we get to the point where we are dealing with thousands, then we need to go super niche on the entire membership. But in the first instance, we don't really need to do that. We can niche parts of the membership. We can niche the how you get people into the membership. But those people that are already in there, that 15 people that have been loyal and stuck with you, they don't necessarily need to know anything's changing in the first instance. What I will say is down the line, when you fully niche, those people are not, you're not going to be as concerned about 15 people when you've got hundreds. So remember that it's a problem. It feels like a big problem today, but it really isn't going to be a big problem in 6 months' time. There will be a natural settling of your niche once you decide on it. But what I don't want you to do is have your digital product dictated by offending people that are already in there. Because if they love you, they will stay anyway. There'll be enough in there still for them to do. But if they don't, then, you know, £9 a month, 15 people, it's not going to be a huge loss in the scheme of things. And I really hate to say that, you know, we need to kind of leave people behind. But sometimes if you really want to build a big digital business that is going to give you the impact and the revenue that you desire, sometimes we have to make some sacrifices. We have to make some difficult choices. And actually, catering for the small group that have been loyal and we still want to give them, you know, some value versus the potential that you have in front of you by deciding on a niche. For me, it's a bit of a no-brainer. I know it can feel really hard, really challenging, but I would encourage you to think of the bigger picture, what this could be. Now, why do we need to niche? And I know you know this, but I'm going to go through it again because I think it's really important that we really hone in on the benefits of niching rather than focusing on the dangers and the discomfort of niching. Now, when you niche, your marketing becomes so much easier. And I know that often in wellness, we have a dislike, a bit of an ick around selling. When you niche, you don't really sell. You don't really need to sell after that point. Because you're so clear on what you offer, you can have real integrity around your sales that you only really invite people in that can really benefit from your product, and therefore it doesn't ever feel like you're selling. You get sharper. So that vague messaging disappears. And that means that when you have a sharpness to what you're providing, creating content becomes so much easier because you know what you're trying to solve. You know the problem you're trying to help people with. You know the market you're going after. So people that hate social media usually hate social media because they don't have a niche and they don't know what to say. They don't know what to talk about. But when you know what you want to help people with, what you want to serve, then creating content just becomes a bit of a no-brainer. So you stand out in a crowded market. So being niched makes you a specialist versus a generalist. Now, people often say to me, is the market full? Is it saturated? Well, first of all, yes, it is. It's a busy market. It's not full or saturated, but it is busy. It is crowded, for sure. So if you are in a crowded market, how do you stand out? Well, you have to cut through the noise. You have to have a hill that you will die on. There has to be something that you are known for. If you are a generalist, you get into the big, you know, the pool that's full of fish. If you are a specialist, suddenly you become that one fish that's slightly different. So you really stand out in that busy pool. So niching cuts through the noise and gets you beyond that fear, another fear of being in a crowded market. The other thing I always say is remember that a crowded market is a thriving market. You know, we want there to be a market. One of the things that makes me most nervous is when people say, you know, I've looked around and there's really nobody doing this, like it's a good thing. If no one's doing it, there's a reason. Trust me. So we want the market to be thriving, which, by the way, the digital online space for wellness is thriving. Now, when you niche, you build authority. You build it faster. So you have a hill that you die on. People know what that is straight away. They decide, are they in, are they out? They associate with you really, really quickly. They decide whether they want what you've got really, really fast. So everything happens quicker. So if you are struggling with the kind of long sales process, you know, people being in your world for years and never quite joining, build authority. You have to have this hill that you will die on so that people can resonate with you. And the other thing about niching and having that authority is that you build higher perceived value. So a specialist will always charge more than a generalist. So if you are looking to create a high ticket program, or you want to move away from the membership model that requires huge amounts of people, then you need to be niched because you need to be able to charge that higher price. So the high ticket programs are always very much transformation based. So I think that's covers most of the benefits of niching. So let's have a look, which is, I know, the bit you are all waiting for. How can we niche when we already have an existing product? Now, you have set up your membership. You have 50, maybe, probably maximum people in there. They already know you, like you, trust you. You kind of know a lot of them from your real life world. There might be a few outliers in there that you don't know. But how do you niche that when people are already in there and it feels really uncomfortable because they're already getting something and you don't really want to change that? Now, how I did this in my business, and this was in about 2021, where I had a very generic membership, I niched it by creating a front-end deliverable. Now, what this means is having something at the start of their journey that niches them. So instead of saying, "Hi, I'm Caroline, join my Pilates membership," I said, "Hi, I'm Caroline, do my 21-day core challenge." So it was a core challenge for perimenopause. It took 21 days. And the great thing about it was that it brought in the right people. It was obviously, niching is more than just the name. So there is more to it than that. But it brought in the right people at the right stage, who wanted what I could offer, who didn't necessarily know they wanted Pilates. That wasn't why they were there. They wanted core strength and they wanted it fast and they wanted a quick outcome, a quick change. And I knew that I could do that for them in 21 days. I knew that I could get them stronger. I knew that they could see some physical changes after 3 weeks. And so I had a challenge. And that was my front-end product. And then once people had done that front-end product, they were invited to join the membership. The membership didn't really need to be niched. The membership just remained the same. But what they joined the membership for was that at that point, they knew me, liked me, trusted me, and they wanted more. They wanted more accountability, more movement. They didn't want to lose what they had worked so hard to gain. So they joined the membership as a kind of back-end product. Now, you could do the same with a mini course, a challenge, even a lead magnet that is front-end niched so that you don't really have to change what you're actually delivering in the membership. Now, the other thing you could do that I've seen working really, really well is niche part of your membership. Now, I have a client who has a big audience, but she has a membership that is quite generic because she had managed to build quite a good audience over COVID. People had joined, but gradually it's creeping down to kind of under 100 members. So she wants to boost it again, but the market has changed. Whereas in COVID, people wanted more Pilates. Now they don't, because they can get that in real life again. So now she's realizing that people need something particular from her. Now, what we've realized working together is that she really specializes, and the vast majority of her audience are teachers. So what she's going to do is niche a part of her membership. So she can still keep the existing people in there. She still provides her classes for them. But what she's also doing is creating a portal within the membership that is all about teaching. It's about how to teach certain things, how to create flows, how to move people around the reformer. And the great thing about that is that when they join as teachers and they get all that education, they also then get the other stuff in the membership for themselves and for inspiration and for their own, you know, personal practice. With her, we are also doing a front-end deliverable, but I don't know that we absolutely have to. It's a nice to have. And then finally, the other way you could come at this is if you've got a membership that's existing, you can niche your messaging instead of niching your product. So if you've got a product that is a, let's say, a yoga membership, what you could do is niche your front end messaging. So you could speak to people on adverts, on your social media, in your lead magnets, on your website, about a particular niche, but the actual product is generic. So you bring people in who want a particular outcome, and then you say to them, look, this is where you get it in this membership. So you keep the product as it is, but the market to it is a very specific group. And then once they're engaged, then they discover the wider benefits. So these three ways are ways that you can implement today that mean that you're not excluding your community. You're creating a doorway that can help people to kind of come through and find a way to work with you. So let's have a think about, how do you know it's time? It's time to pivot. It's time to make that niche a bit clearer. So you might be finding that your audience is not growing beyond your in-person's clients, or you're finding that your audience is actually declining. It's getting smaller. Maybe your members are decreasing. Maybe your engagement is flat. So you're posting on Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn and you're just feeling uninspired and you're not getting anything back. That's because you're too generic. You are literally throwing stuff out there that is sinking to the bottom of the pool. In order to float, in order to be that big fish, you've got to cut through. It may be that you've outgrown what you're already offering. You know, I have created and shut down two memberships. So it may be that this is just not quite you anymore, doesn't quite fit. And it's really difficult when you're making a couple hundred quid a month, passively, in inverted commas, from the people that are already in your membership, to close that down. But sometimes energetically, that's what needs to happen, that you just need to kind of cut the deadwood in order to create something from scratch that feels exciting. Maybe you are creating that content, but it feels really scattered. It feels really uninspiring. You don't know what to talk about each day. You don't know how to get people to engage with you. Now, I know you want to pivot or niche, but you don't want to burn your bridges. So let's think about how we do that. We can keep serving existing clients, maybe with legacy pricing or bonus access. So if people are already in your membership and you don't want to get rid of them and you don't want to close it down and you don't want to offend them, you can say to them, look, this is changing. It's going to be a bit more niched. I still think you'll get massive benefit, but I'm going to keep your price the same as it always has been. The new members are going to get a slightly higher price, but because you've been so loyal, I'm going to grandfather you in at the existing price that you're at. Or give them something extra. Look, I know this isn't quite right for you anymore, but if you're still getting benefit, I'd love for you to stick around. Here is access to XYZ, something additional, something special to make them feel like you are still seeing them. I would always communicate why you are doing this. Speak to your people. This doesn't have to happen in a silo. These are real human beings. They are usually, in my experience, very excited to see your business grow. I have so many clients who are watching what I do, and they are not my ideal client anymore. Like they're not really there at all to buy anything. They would never buy from me now. But they are so happy for me to see the change in my business. So communicate with them. I want to go deeper in this area because it's where I can have the biggest impact. I want to help more people because this is what I experienced. I don't know if you know this, but this is a problem I had, and I'd really love to help this audience. Communicate why. Talk to them. And then frame it as growth, not rejection. Like, you're not kicking them out. You're not no longer helping them. You can say, guys, I'm still here. Business as usual. Real life classes will remain the same. The membership will continue to function, but I'm just adding in a slightly different direction. But just beware that everything I create is still going to be relevant for you. And invite them to come along with you on the journey. You know, tell them what you're doing. Speak to them. Keep them posted. And the easiest way to not offend and not upset your audience is to really, you know, embrace them and bring them with you. So let's wrap this up. And just, I want to highlight a few takeaways that you can go away with, hopefully. First one is that pivoting is an evolution. It's not the end of anything. You're not burning anything down. It's not a failure. It's just evolution. You're just switching how things go, changing things up, moving direction. And just remember that the you know, what you decide on now, you will evolve over the next few years. Your niche is kind of a work in progress. So we just need to make a few decisions. It doesn't have to be perfect at this stage, but you can just start to go in the direction. You're not closing doors. You're opening the right doors. So you're bringing in the right people, the people that light you up, the people that want what you have, the people that you can really help, the people you can truly serve. So we're opening doors to people that we really want to invite in. You don't always have to rebuild. Remember, if you have something digital that you want to scale, you can. You can niche your front end, your messaging, or a section of the product. There are lots of different ways to make that work without burning down what you have. And then finally, growth usually comes from being a bit brave. So talk to your people, communicate what's going on, and then take bold action. Be brave. Go after the business, the life, the outcome that you want. You are being held back by thinking of specific people that you feel indebted to. Remember, this is your business. You can absolutely continue to serve those people with real love and real integrity whilst building a bigger business. If you are looking to scale and create something monumental that gives you the lifestyle that you want, the impact that you want, serves people that you want to help, gives you the revenue that you need, the freedom to do what you want, you have to make bold decisions soon. Don't sit on this. I see so many people circling their niche. Just make a decision.
Make a decision.
Just go for it. It's frustrating for me because I see so much potential in the wellness space and so much missed opportunity. And I don't want you to miss that. I don't want you to miss that boat. So if you already have a product that you want to scale, be it a membership with 15 people, a course that you've run once that's sitting on your website and no one's buying it. If you have something you want to scale, the Scaling Wellness Accelerator, my signature program, is opening again on the 15th of September. It starts on the 15th of September for 12 weeks. In this program, I will talk you through all of this. We go through a whole refinement process for your existing products. We go through a whole niching section. We will be building your audience. We will be bringing leads in. We will be looking at sales processes. All of that is happening inside the accelerator. So I would love to invite you in. If this is at all interesting to you, then please reach out. I'm going to put the details in the show notes for the accelerator. There is an application form. The best way to do this is to fill out the application form, and then I will reply with a video to tell you whether or not I think it's the right fit for you. And then if you want to have a chat, we absolutely can. But hopefully at that point, I'll be able to send you the details and you can just join. Don't leave it too late. There are only a couple of spaces left and this is going out on the 1st of September. So you've only got a couple of weeks. And this is the last time that the Scaling Wellness Accelerator is going to run in its current format. It is being switched up. So if you are looking for high touch support, then this is the time. Now is the time to jump in. So I really hope I will see you in there. And if you have any questions, please do let me know. DM me your thoughts. Let me know on Instagram how this episode landed for you. If it was useful, I would love to hear what your aha moments were. I'll be back next week. Thank you so much, as always, for being here. It's not lost on me that you have gifted me some of your time here. I hope it's been useful. And I really look forward to speaking to you again. Take care. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.